helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. Do you sometimes feel as if you're living in a dystopian movie? Sometimes I feel as if we're living in the Hunger Games or 1984. Today, however, I feel like Luke Skywalker near the end of Return of the Jedi. You know, the scene where Palpatine tells Luke,
"You have paid the price for your lack of vision."
Well, the American people are paying the price for their lack of vision. Now, if I could figure out a way to get paid for it, I could probably make a very good living just exposing all of the tyrannical, unconstitutional actions being taken by various governments, from the FDA and the CDC to the numerous illegal bureaucratic regulations. Even the states get involved, usually by bowing and begging the federal government to protect them from the illegal actions of the federal government. Now, while exposing the tyranny might be fun, it wouldn't solve the problem. So today, I want to look at some of the more recent acts and not just expose them, but show the American people and the states what they can do about it. The question we should be asking, will the empire that the United States has become crush us, or will the Republic find a way to deal with the tyrants? Well, hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach a rising generation to be free. I am so glad you could join me today. You know, maybe it's because of the generation I grew up in, growing up with Star Wars, that scene keeps coming to mind of, you know, government in the form of Palpatine, you know, force lightning Luke Skywalker and telling him, "You will pay the price for your lack of vision." Because I feel we are paying the price for not only our lack of vision, but for our lack of engagement. Not simply seeing that power will always attract corrupt people, but our unwillingness to engage and protect ourselves from these tyrants. Not to mention the American people's willingness to install tyrants, to submit to tyrants, as long as the people get what they want. You give them the goodies they want, and they'll pretty much deal with any tyrant that comes along. At least that seems to be recently the way we've been living. Well, take, for example, go back to the year 2000. See, in 2000, the FDA approved the availability of a two-drug chemical abortion using mifepristone and misoprostol. Now, a lot of people say, "Oh, great, this is wonderful. You know, this will allow women to get abortions without having to go through the surgery." And a lot of Americans said, "This is great." In fact, as of now, nearly 50% of all abortions in America are done by this chemical abortion. Now, what's interesting is there's actually a lawsuit in the works by a group, a National Medical Association, and many doctors that deal with pregnant and post-abortive women. And they're saying, listen, the FDA's approval of this cocktail was illegal. They didn't have the legal authority to do so. And so we've had 23 years of this, and now they're suing to get the approval overturned. Now, part of what I believe has pushed for this is the fact that the FDA went from we'll approve this, but it's going to be very restricted, very limited, to now basically you can pick up one of the two drugs right down to your local pharmacy. Now, I haven't gone deep dive on the complaint yet, but I found some interesting information. See, according to the plaintiffs, the FDA's stated mission is to protect the public health by ensuring the safety, efficacy, and security of different drugs, biological products, and medical devices. As I've said many times before, that means the FDA doesn't legally exist, because ensuring the safety and efficacy of drugs, biological products, and medical, the ensuring the public health is not a power delegated to the United States. Therefore, Congress did not have the legal authority to enact the legislation that created the FDA. Right? Power Congress only has the power to make laws necessary and proper to putting into effect the powers delegated to the United States by the Constitution. Since this was not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, then this agency legally doesn't exist because the legislation is void. But again, we keep dealing with this, you know, emperor has no clothes myth, that just because Congress passes a law, that means it's legal and that it validly exists. So back to the suit. So the plaintiffs, the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, claimed that the agency ignored the mission by pushing mifepristone through an accelerated approval process, ignoring the relevant law and the science governing chemical abortions. Now, what's interesting is the FDA's regulations on accelerated approval of drugs require that the new drugs be studied for their safety and effectiveness in treating serious or life-threatening illness. Well, there's one interesting point. Being pregnant is not an illness. A child in the womb is not a disease. It's not a virus. And with rare exceptions, it is not serious or life-threatening. Now, in the situation where it is serious or life-threatening, that's a whole nother. Again, I've always said, if the life or physical health of the mother is at risk, you're dealing with a whole new set of facts. But that's not what this is being used for. So the idea that abortion is a therapeutic benefit to treat a serious illness of pregnancy, well, it just doesn't pass the smell test. To say that with a straight face means there's something, the serious desire to, well, to kill innocent life. Now, I find this interesting. It's a case I want to follow. Again, the case is, was Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine versus U.S. Food and Drug Administration. And as this case progresses, I'll probably bring more and more information to you about it. Since we're talking about abortions, Texas recently filed a lawsuit against the Biden administration to block what they refer to as federal health guidance that's trying to force pharmacies to dispense abortion-inducing drugs. Now, this guidance comes in the form of a letter from the Health and Human Services Department, another agency that does not legally exist because Health and Human Services are not powers delegated to the United States. But based on an executive order from President Biden, they've sent this out to remind the roughly 60,000 U.S. retail pharmacies of their obligation under federal civil rights law. I'm sorry, you do not have a civil right to kill another human being. In fact, that's the exact opposite of a civil right. That is depriving people of their life without due process of law. But notice how the federal government has weaseled their way into this. See, if the pharmacy takes Medicaid or Medicare payments, the federal government says then you cannot discriminate based on race, color, national origin, sex, age, and the disability for their activities. Now, that is the law. But notice how here we have HHS twisting this, where it says this includes supplying prescribed medication, making determinations regarding the suitability of prescribed medications for a patient, and advising a patient about prescribed medications and how to take them. Every pharmacist has the conscience limited, the constitutionally protected right to not violate their conscience in the dispensing of medication. It is a violation of conscience. And since this is a federal act, it violates the First Amendment because it's basically saying, listen, you may look at the patient and say, look at how they dealt with ivermectin. The federal government had no problem telling pharmacies, hey, you cannot dispense ivermectin for COVID patients. But here we have the exact opposite. Here we have a minion of the empire or the emperor. The emperor is saying, listen, we love abortions. We love killing babies. All right, let's not sugarcoat it. We love killing babies. And how dare you, as a human being, challenge our authority to make sure that women can kill babies whenever they darn well please in whatever manner they darn well want. So what does Texas do? So Texas sues. Now, To me, okay. But understand what Texas is doing. Texas is asking the federal judiciary to tell the federal executive, no, you've gone too far. But you see, I have a much better idea, a much more effective idea. See, the Constitution, as Texas as a state, is a party to the Constitution. They ratified it. It's like signing a contract. They ratified it. And the 10th Amendment says a power not delegated to the United States by the Constitution belongs either to the states or to the people. Therefore, that is a violation. This regulation, this guidance, in fact, the very existence of HHS, is a violation of the compact that created the federal government. How about Texas, as a party to the Constitution, simply say, excuse me, Mr. Secretary, go pound sand. Literally, just go pound sand. We did not authorize you to tell us what our pharmacists can and cannot do, whether or not they have conscience protections or not. We didn't give that to you. Therefore, you don't have it. Pound sand. In fact, how about the legislature of the state of Texas? Say, should somebody try to enforce a regulation from Health and Human Services in violation of the Constitution of the United States, not only will they be barred from doing so, but they will be arrested. Arrested for what? How about depriving the people of the United States the authority to govern themselves? The right they have protected under the Ninth Amendment to control their government, to set the limitations on their government. Under the 10th Amendment, to have that enforced by law, by rule and regulation. That is a crime to deprive us of our right to set the bounds of our government. How about you do that, Mr. Governor or Attorney General or whoever's doing that? Legislators in Texas, how about legislators around the country? Stop saying, oh, please, Mr. Federal Government, please, Uncle Sam, don't do this to us. How about, we never authorized this, go pound sand. And here's another for you, right? Now, we've all probably heard now about the study that pretty much proves that masks do nothing for respiratory virus. It doesn't help the flu, doesn't help COVID. They do not work. They've looked at metadata from multiple studies around the world. It does not work. But you still have, again, the illegal, the criminal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, not authorized by the Constitution of the United States. They are still promoting the use of masks that don't work. Do you know why we didn't give Congress, we didn't give the United States the authority to regulate public health? Because they're run by a bunch of bureaucrats. And bureaucrats make bureaucratic and political decisions, not medical ones. So once again, we have the director of the CDC defending the recommendation to use masks when all the scientific data says it does not work. We talk about our lack of vision. Well, how about paying the consequences for our lack of vision when the federal government said, you know what? We're going to take over. We're going to determine what food and drugs you're going to be allowed to eat. We're going to determine the policies based on public health, based on our expertise, our political nonsense. We went through, almost 3 years now of lockdowns, shutdowns, and mandates because we didn't have the vision to see the criminal activity that would happen if we simply allowed the federal government to make up the rules as they went along, to ignore the Constitution, to ignore the supreme law of the land. We didn't see where this would go, and now we're paying the price. Our parents and our grandparents sat back. They didn't look at this and say, wait a second, we didn't authorize this. We didn't say it was okay, but we're going to let them do it anyway because they promised us goodies. They promised to take care of us, and now they are using their funding as a political bludgeon, right? Again, you have the FDA saying, hey, we're simply going to force pharmacies to dispense these drugs. Oh, by the way, you take our money, you better do what we tell you to or else. We have Texas believing the proper answer is to sue. Now, I'm not saying suing is wrong. They are asking the judicial branch to decide a controversy. Does the executive branch have the authority to issue such guidance? But that cannot be all there is. That has to be, hey, we want your opinion because right now we ain't doing it. And we want your opinion so that maybe the other states will learn. But the state of Texas did not give up its authority as a party to the Constitution because it signed the Constitution. It said the exact opposite. It's we the people who have allowed these states to become vassals of Washington, D.C. because we didn't have the vision to see where that would lead. Now, I have some other examples, but I have to take a break first. Before I go, though, please check out the website, constitutionstudy.com. That's where everything else that I do with the Constitution Study is. So, yeah, I've got the radio program that you listen to, and I thank you very much for it. But all my articles, my other articles and videos and content, it's all there. And I've still got some plans for what I'm going to do in the future. I hope you'll go over and check it out. Maybe sign up for a mailing list. Hey, if you can donate, even better. But I also have a question for you. Do you have a problem sleeping? As long as I'd known my wife, she's had a problem sleeping. And it, of course, it means that she's up and she's tired and you don't function as well. Well, Healthy Cells come along with a sleep supplement designed to support all four stages of sleep. It helps you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, so you can wake up refreshed. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order from HealthyCell.com. Just use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So go to HealthyCell.com, put your cart together, use REM Sleep or any of the other great products at Healthy Cell. Use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, you get 25% off your first order.
Do you know there's no other condition that I'm aware of where vitamins and supplements make such a big difference than COVID-19? We have an abundance of data that we need to be replete with a variety of micronutrients, and that includes vitamins, minerals, and other substances our bodies need. I rely on Healthy Cell Super Boost. That's Immune Super Boost. It's a gel pack that can be taken every day. I like to do it before I exercise and before I go out. It's a wonderful supplement. It gives me the immune super boost that I need. Go to HealthyCell.com, use the promotional code OUTLOUD, and get a discount on your first order. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe. Air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is X-L-E-A-R.com.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and today we're talking about the price we pay for our lack of vision. Now, it's not one thing that we missed or one incident. It's the continual empowering of the federal government. It's the continual ignoring of their malfeasance, of their criminal activity, of the usurpation of powers that has led us to the story state where a bunch of bureaucrats think they have the power to control our lives. Well, for example, we talked in the first segment about the FDA, the CDC, the HHS, and these mandates and regulations that legally do not exist. These agencies that don't exist because they're not exercising a power delegated to the United States. Therefore, Congress had no authority to write such legislation. Therefore, that legislation is void. By the way, that's not according to me. That's according to both Alexander Hamilton in Federalist Paper 78 and the Supreme Court of the United States in Marbury versus Madison. But then we get into these other areas. You know, the Biden White House has announced what they call a blueprint for a renter's bill of rights. Now, I want you to stop and think about this for a second. This is the federal government saying, we are going to grant rights to renters. Not unalienable rights, because they come from our creator. No, what this really is this is another attempt by the federal government to use its bureaucratic nonsense to control the rest of the nation. Because, well, they think they know better than everybody else. Now, again, this is another one. I've only recently heard of it, so I haven't done a deep dive into it. But what they apparently what the blueprint is to have the Federal Trade Commission and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Again, two agencies. Well, Federal Trade Commission might legally exist. There are, you know, Congress can regulate interstate and foreign commerce, but this goes way beyond anything the Constitution authorizes. And what they want to do is identify practices that unfairly prevent applicants and tenants from accessing or staying in housing. Now, remember, this is the same administration that said, hey, we can tell you as a landlord, you're not allowed to evict your tenants. Of course, that overturned by the courts. But again, they believe they have the authority to say, nope, tenants don't pay rent. You cannot kick them out. So what are they looking at? And a question, what is their goal? I mean, when they talk about, prevent applicants or tenants from accessing or staying in housing, could it be something as simple as, hey, you know, we look at your financial records and we don't think you can pay the rent, or you have a history of destroying the properties that you rent from other people? Or could it simply be, you know what, we don't want a couple of drag queens living next to our teenage children? See, according to my guess is, I should say, is that would be considered, well, an unfair practice to prevent an applicant from renting a property. But we forget, you don't have a legal right to rent a specific piece of property. That property is just that. It is property. And the Constitution, the Fifth Amendment, specifically prohibits anyone from depriving you of your property without due process of law. That isn't just taking the property, that's taking control of the property. But we spend decades determining, you know, hey, we'll just let the federal government do whatever it darn well pleases. So now it's going to determine what is safe, quality and affordable housing. You look at your property and say, well, I can rent this for $800 a month. Well, the federal government says, no, that's not affordable. We're going to force you to change that. Or what is a fair lease? Does a fair lease say, hey, if you don't pay your rent for 2 months, you cannot be evicted for another 6 months while it goes through some arbitration process? These are just examples of the things that they're talking about in the white paper that announced this plan. But again, what is this here? This is the federal government attempting to take over the rental process, the same way they took over the student loans, the same way they took over medical insurance, the way they took over medicine in general. Now they're turning around and saying, hey, we want people to buy electric vehicles. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to steal $136 billion of your money to help promote the administration's electric car agenda. I said steal. Because remember, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1. Congress can only collect taxes to do one of three things. Pay the debts, provide for the common defense, or promote the general welfare of the United States. Not the several states, not the people, the United States. Capital U, capital S, that very same proper noun that is used in the 10th Amendment that says, hey, if we didn't specifically say you could do this, like, oh, I don't know, promote the purchase of a specific product, Congress, you know, the federal government's not allowed to do it. The United States is not allowed to do it. Now, I'm sure a lot of people are saying, oh, great, tax breaks, we'll get our electric cars. No, this is theft. This is the equivalent of Palpatine force lightning the American people. We're just going to steal this from you because we think we can. And because so many of the American people are so deprived of the basic knowledge of civics and structure of government and limitations on government that they think it's perfectly legitimate for the federal government to come in and say, we're going to steal from the American people to promote an industry because we like it. Because we think we have to go to electric vehicles, because we believe the lie that is global warming, because we believe the lie that the Earth's going to flood in the next 5 years, 10 years. They've been wrong for decades, you're too stupid to figure it out yourself. We're going to force you into doing that. And that's what passes for legislation. That's what passes for representing the people. No, we know better than you. You're too stupid to figure this out. You won't buy electric cars because, well, they're too expensive and they have a lot of limitations. No, by the way, they pollute the planet like God, you know, something awful. But we know better than you. So we're going to steal your money so that the rich people that can actually afford electric cars can get a break on those electric cars. Aren't you just thrilled about that? So as the American people lie writhing in the pain of an economy falling apart with ridiculous inflation, especially certain food products and gasoline, with a debt that would choke a whale, now we're going to give you another shot of let's take money from the poor and give it to the rich. That's exactly what this program does. Because most people who buy electric cars are not the poor. It's the rich people buying the cars, and they're the ones getting the lucrative tax credits. I thought they were out for the little guy. Yeah, they're out to get the little guy. And of course, it's not just the executive branch. See, by now you've probably heard that there are some ex-Twitter executives that were questioned by members of Congress. Now, they were questioned by Congress because of allegations that the company purposely suppressed information about Hunter Biden's laptop in an attempt to affect the outcome of the 2020 election. I have one question. What does that have to do with legislation? See, all legislative power is delegated to Congress. The executive power, the power to execute the laws, is in the executive branch. Oh, but Paul, the executive branch isn't doing their job. Well, then your job is to pick better people for the executive branch, isn't it? But no, what we have here is another political attack job. Now, you may think it's a great thing, right? Because maybe you're a Republican or a conservative, or you think that Twitter did manipulate. I believe they manipulated the 2020 elections. The question is, what is Congress going to do with this information? See, right now it's another show trial, folks. I know there are people who don't want to hear that. This is nothing but another show trial. It's a chance for politicians to grandstand and say, see how great I am? I'm holding them accountable. You're doing no such thing. In fact, what you're doing is most likely criminal. Take, for example, Louisiana Representative Clay Higgins. Now, yes, he's a Republican. As I said, a pox on both their houses. So he's up there grandstanding in front of these officials, and he at one point said, you, ladies and gentlemen, interfere with the United States of America's 2020 presidential election knowingly, and that's the bad news. It's going to get worse because this is the investigation part. Later comes the arrest part. I want to remind Mr. Higgins, Congress has no authority to arrest anyone. That's right, Mr. Higgins, you have no authority to arrest anyone. The best you can do is, quote unquote, referrals to the Department of Justice. It's the very same Department of Justice, by the way, that helped work with Twitter to suppress this information. See, this is not about holding people accountable. This is political grandstanding. And I'm just as mad when the Republicans do it as when the Democrats do it. That's why I say a pox on both their houses. Do you want to know why we have this mess? In part because we have this dissension natural to party politics, as George Washington warned us in his farewell address. He said the alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge natural to party dissension, which in its ages and countries has perpetuated its own horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism. This is the Republicans doing pretty much what the Democrats did in the previous Congress. Use their position to attack their political opponents. And the American people cheered.
So this is how liberty dies. With thunderous applause.
So to every one of you who are cheering this particular representative, just because he's a Republican, just because he's after Twitter, understand, you're cheering the death of liberty. Now, I believe the Twitter, executives of Twitter, along with members of the executive branch, committed crimes, federal crimes. But the answer is not to turn it into a political football. The answer is, where's the investigation that can actually promote criminal charges? Where is the grand jury? Where is it? Why is Congress not calling for a grand jury to investigate this so they could actually promote criminal charges? Because this is not about the criminal activity of the FBI, Department of Justice, members of Twitter. This is political grandstanding. It's exactly what I warned you about when the Congress was taken over by the Republicans. It'll be just as easy for them to turn this into political nonsense as anyone else. Now, hopefully you remember we have three branches of the federal government, so we got to get the judiciary in here. A U.S. District Court Judge, Colleen Kollar-Kotelly, I believe that's pronounced right, Kotelly, made a very interesting suggestion. So you remember the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health opinion that overturned Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus v. Casey? And the basic statement that said the Constitution does not have a right to abortion in it. There's no language in there that could recommend it. There's no history that would have led us to believe that. It's basically the court in 1973 with Roe made it up out of whole cloth. They had no legal authority to. Therefore, we overturn it. Now, I know a lot of people were really pissed about that, but that's because the judiciary had created something out of thin air and it was being taken away. He who gets rights by the judiciary loses rights by the judiciary. But here we have a district judge that says, you know what? Maybe we can still find a way to somehow invent a right to abortion in the Constitution. And you're not going to believe where she came up with this. See, she said that the question before the Dobbs court was whether the 14th Amendment to the Constitution provided such, but maybe we can find it magically somewhere else. Where? The 13th Amendment. The prohibition against involuntary servitude. Let's stop for a second. Involuntary servitude is now a source for reproductive health care for abortion. Well, I want to point out it's just such a salacious argument. It's ridiculous. Now, you could turn around and say, listen, if the woman was raped, in other words, if she was not a voluntary participant in sex, which led to a pregnancy, then possibly, sort of, kind of, okay, involuntary servitude, but it's not a permanent servitude. It is a temporary servitude. But you could make a case that in the case of rape, it is an involuntary servitude to the child within. But the question is the recompense for such servitude the ability to kill the person that you're serving? I mean, I disagree with that. I believe it's a completely twisted and ridiculous argument. But let's at least follow the logic here. If a woman voluntarily has sex and gets pregnant, it is not involuntary servitude. Pregnancy is a well-known consequence of sexual activity. It's not a surprise to anybody, except apparently to these women who believe that somehow magically they're not going to get pregnant. So this whole thing is, but this is the twisted logic of the judiciary that says we want to find a way to say that you have a constitutionally protected right to get an abortion. So we will twist whatever we can to try and find a way to get there. Now, I don't know the history of this particular justice. What I do know is that based on that statement, maybe she's just posing a hypothetical. Maybe this is out of context, and I'm not sure. So I'm not ready to simply, turn around and say that this person should be impeached. But I want you to stop and look at the level of argument that is used to take away the right of people, unborn people, to live. I don't use the term right to life as a political statement, because you have a right in the Constitution under the Fifth Amendment to not be deprived of life without due process of law. And it is not the person in the womb that has pushed this person into involuntary servitude. It was the man who raped the woman that put her into involuntary servitude. So why, ladies and gentlemen, would you punish the fetus, the baby in the womb, for something they did not do? That, ladies and gentlemen, is a level of reason and logic that currently exists in a large part of our federal judiciary. And you'll wonder why, when I see states begging the federal judiciary to protect them, they can't even read and understand the Constitution of the United States. Why should I believe they're going to come up with a reasonable response to Texas or to any other case? I mean, granted, I don't see the vast majority of opinions, so maybe my opinion is skewed because of that. But if I'm betting my life on a future, I'm not putting my life in the hands of a federal judiciary that can't be bothered to actually study the Constitution they take an oath to support. I've got some more examples. I'm going to go back to some of the stuff out of the State of the Union address, but I have to take a break first. But first, I want to remind you that, you know, the Constitution Study is one of many voices here in America Out Loud. So it's a great place to go every day for the latest news and information. But it's more important than ever that we do our parts, that we help educate friends, family, and neighbors by taking the stories, the podcasts, the videos, and sharing them as far and wide as possible. That is how you can join with us and help us as we help secure the blessings of liberty.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years. Brush, floss, repeat. We're told to use fluoride, which doesn't really address the acid-creating bacteria. That is where the dentist-recommended Spry Dental Defense System shines. Spry products contain xylitol, a natural sugar, which helps get rid of those nasty, smelly, acid-creating bacteria in our mouth. The best way to care for your teeth and gums is by using Spry. The Spry Dental Defense System has a wide variety of products, toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and chewing gums that are designed to work together to keep your teeth clean and mouth healthy and smelling sweet all day long. To get your oral care back on track, in an easy, effective, and very tasty way, switch to Spry today. Ask your dentist about xylitol and the Spry products. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural product retailers.
We are fighting the ultimate fight between good and evil. AmericaOutLoud.com replaces groupthink with innovative think. Well, it was Walt Whitman, the poet, who said, "Keep your face always toward the sunshine, and shadows will fall behind you." America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and today we're talking about paying for our lack of vision. The fact that we didn't see these abuses coming, or we were just unwilling to do anything about it. From the FDA turning an unconstitutional agency into a, I don't know what I would call it. I mean, it's a pill factory. They put out a dangerous product without proper safety testing in the fake vaccine. Now they're trying to get abortion pills at basic pharmacies, to HHS telling pharmacies, you've got to dispense this. I mean, that's all stuff we covered in the first segment. Then the second segment, we looked at some of the other things. The Renter's Bill of Rights, the federal government trying to take away not just the landowners, the landlord's rights, but just your ability to negotiate a deal with your landlord. They want to take that away because they want to know what's best. The stealing of billions of American dollars in order to promote an industry because, well, it's what the politicians think are best. And the show trial of the Twitter executives. I mean, I know a lot of people that are just happy to see these people raked over the coals, but what happened in Congress the other day was nothing more than a show trial, no different than the January 6th committee. And when a representative claims that he's going to have people arrested for what they've done, Congress has no such authority. It shows it was political grandstanding. And now I want to take I want to shift gears for the last segment here. You know, yesterday I covered the State of the Union address. You can find it on the website. Just go to AmericaOutloud.com, go to find the Constitution Study, and look, it's called Our State of the Union. And some things that kind of I didn't get to yesterday. Now, it's interesting. You know, Biden calls for an investigation into fraud and abuse from the pandemic. Well, let me start with a couple of interesting things. First of all, they estimate that $500 billion has been lost to waste, fraud, and abuse. Now, the only reason there was $500 billion available for waste, fraud, and abuse is because the federal government illegally appropriated funds for things they're not legally authorized to do. Now, that, ladies and gentlemen, that's not Biden's fault. That's Congress's fault. That's the fault of your representative. If your representative voted for all of this COVID bribery, well, it's their fault and it's your fault for putting them there. And if you kept them there, well, that just proves it's your fault because you took a person who helped steal trillions of dollars to the American people and you put them back in a position to do so. But now, we're going to fight fraud and abuse. The federal government lives on fraud and abuse. There's a reason why everything costs more through the federal government because of all the waste, fraud, and abuse. It's practically its defining purpose. Its defining skill is the ability to waste money through fraud and abuse. So if this political speech was supposed to be the state of our union, well, let's look at some of the state of the union, the state of our union, or at least our representatives. You know, Biden lied about deficits. He lied about deficits under his administration. He lied about deficits under his under the Trump administration. That shouldn't be a surprise. He lied about the state of the economy. And then he turns around and he claims that the Republicans want to hold the full faith and credit of the United States hostage to get their economic agenda. Okay, does that mean that there was a Democrat? No, let's not even play that game. How about the nonsense of we are $31 trillion in debt? What faith and credit is there in the United States? Do you think people around the world really believe the federal government is going to pay off that debt? That the American people are going to pay off that debt? No. The faith in the American government, the credit that they give us, is falling apart. Not because we won't raise the credit, the debt limit, but because we have squandered trillions of dollars of our economic productivity through waste, fraud, and abuse of the federal government. The abuse of spending money they're not authorized to spend. But you see, this is just another example. It's a political party feud. That's the state of our union. We have presidents in Congress that are more interested in their political party than they are in their oath to support the Constitution, than there is in their job to represent the people in the states. That's the state of our union. Bickering. Political party bickering. Biden said, instead of making the wealthy pay their fair share, some Republicans want Medicare and Social Security to sunset every 5 years. I don't know where the heck he's getting that nonsense. But let's stop for a second. So we talk about making the wealthy pay their fair share. I got a little more information overnight. As I understand it, 1%, the top 1% of earners pay 90% of federal income tax. You heard that again. The top 1% of earners pay 90% of federal income tax. But of course, he blames it on the Republicans. They want Medicare and Social Security to sunset. Well, how about the fact that they're not legally there in the first place because the United States doesn't have the constitutional authority? That is, they are fraud. Medicare and Social Security are fraud. How many trillions of dollars have been spent the federal government wasn't authorized to spend? Now, not surprising that these statements drew some boos and some jeers from the Republicans. I really shouldn't be, you shouldn't be surprised, but it really shows the state of our union. When the state of the union just devolves into a name-calling, finger-pointing, shouting match, with one side making all sorts of, in most cases, outrageous, unfounded claims about the other, and the other side just yelling back, booing and jeering and calling them liars. That is the state of our union, ladies and gentlemen. And it's the state of our union because those are the people we hired to represent us. You're telling me of the 537 people that we chose to represent us, 435 in the House, 100 in the Congress, the president and the vice president, these are the best people we could find. It says a lot about the state of our union that these are the people that we choose to represent us. Now, either because these are the greedy, power-hungry people that are attracted to Congress, or the fact that the American people keep voting for them. No matter how outrageous what they say, no matter how outrageous what they do. I mean, after the State of the Union address, Representative Ocasio-Cortez suggested that if you're a Border Patrol agent, you should be fired simply for working with an organization that the Southern Poverty Law Center brands as a hate group. Now understand, the Southern Poverty Law Center is itself a hate group by their own definitions. They hate the Constitution, they hate your rights, they hate Christianity, they hate the rule of law. These are the people that are supporting them are the ones they label as hate groups. But understand what Ms. Ocasio-Cortez wants. She wants a private organization to determine whether or not you're qualified to serve because it's an organization that she agrees with. Absolutely. This is that's her statement, right? If you disagree with the SPLC, you should be fired. Now, of course, she starts with Border Patrol. But how long before you're not allowed to serve in Congress if you support things like free speech, if you support organizations that teach the Constitution, that support people that are trying to exercise their rights and they give them legal assistance? How long? The state of this union is crumbling. Why is it crumbling? Because the foundation has been shattered. We're all familiar with the parable in the Bible about the man who built his house upon a rock, and when the storms hit, it stood, and the man who built his home upon the sand, and when the storms hit, it crumbled. We have taken the rock of the Constitution, of rights, a basic understanding of right and wrong, and we have crumbled that into sand, and we are watching the foundations give. And we are watching the union crumble because we have founded the union on people like this. People like Biden and Harris and McCarthy and Mitchell and Ocasio-Cortez. And what was the guy from Louisiana that said, "Hey, we'll just arrest these people"? Higgins. See, we've taken a nation that was founded on the rule of law, on self-government, on the unalienable rights of the people, and we've pulled that foundation out and placed it on the foundation of donkeys and elephants and politicians and bureaucrats. You want to know why the state of this union is falling apart? It's because we have founded it on the wrong things. We took the solid foundation away. We put the crumbling foundation in place. Now, the only thing I can tell you is there is still good news because it hasn't completely collapsed yet. But like any, you know, you watch any home improvement program, when you've got a crumbling foundation, the first thing you do is fix the foundation. So how do we do that, ladies and gentlemen? We don't do that by playing the games of Washington, by sitting there with bread and circuses from the State of the Union address. We do that by engaging in our cities and in our counties and in our neighborhoods. We do so by educating ourselves first and then others on what the Constitution says, the supreme law of the land says, on what it actually means. We take that and we spread that to our friends and our neighbors. We use that to determine who will sit on our city councils and our county commissions, who we will vote for, who we will support. And if they don't follow the rules, if they don't follow their oath of office, we boot them. We don't let them bribe us into keeping them around because they give us goodies. We extend that to who we vote for at our state level, in our state legislatures, in our governors, our attorneys general. We rebuild the foundation brick by brick, stone by stone. And we do it as a people. See, when we have solid counties and cities, when we have a foundation built on the rule of law, the Constitution, the supreme law of the land, then we can fix the rest of it. You can patch the walls, you can fix the broken windows, you can realign the doors, but only after we fix the foundation. And the fixing of the foundation is not going to be done in Washington. It's not going to be done in your state house. And it's not going to be done in your county courthouse. It's going to be done by the people, locally, and then using that to build a foundation that the rest of the nation can stand on. You know, just like an old house that's allowed, where the foundation wasn't maintained, where water is infiltrated and the ground is shifted and frost has heaved and the foundation is crumbling. That's the state of our union, ladies and gentlemen. And if you want evidence, just look at what we've been talking about today. Bureaucrats out of control, politicians out of control, every aspect of your life being controlled or trying to be controlled by a bunch of bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. How can we call ourselves the land of the free when we need the federal government to tell us how we're going to rent? Or whether or not we should put a diaper on our face. How do we call ourselves the land of the free in that situation? But as I said, as bad as that looks, it can be fixed. It can be repaired. But only if we start with the foundation. So as you look around at the lack of vision that we and our forefathers have had, our inability to see the tyranny coming for decades, our unwillingness to do anything about it, as we are currently paying the price for our lack of vision, will we condemn our children to pay for our lack of vision? We condemn our children and our grandchildren to live despotic little lives ruled by petty bureaucrats and petty potentates because we are unwilling to repair the foundation upon which the union stood. Will we devolve into a communist, socialist, progressivist republic? Will we allow elitists from around the world to tell us how to live our lives, to make our laws for us, because we were unwilling to see the tyranny that was coming. The choice, ladies and gentlemen, is ours. Every generation has this choice to make. What will be the choice of this generation? Now, maybe you think the union is beyond hope. It's beyond hope. There's nothing we can do anymore. Just, you know, turn off the lights and roll up the sidewalks. Put a fork in it. It's done. In which case, you leave your children in the dystopia that we've seen in the Soviet Union, in communist China and North Korea, because you're unwilling to try. Maybe you think my ideas are crazy. How could you possibly fix the union by doing things locally? Because it's only worked every time it's been tried in the past. We talk about the Revolutionary War. Most of it were neighborhood groups that got together and fought and willing to fight together. The regular army didn't do all that well for the continental It was the militia, the everyday femur people, the shop owners, the farmers, the blacksmiths that were willing to fight for their independence. We're in the same boat. The question is, will the American people take what they have been so graciously inherited, and will they work to save it or simply watch while it crumbles? The choice is yours. As for me and my house, we're going to fight for freedom. And if you want to join me, remember, every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, you can hear the Constitution Study on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. You can also listen on podcasts, generally a day or two after the episode's heard on the radio. Find them on your favorite podcast app. Do me a favor, though. Subscribe, rate, and review the show. It helps other people find the Constitution Study as well. You can find all the links on the homepage at AmericaOutloud.com. But do me a favor. Share them. Don't sit back and watch. Join the revolution. Join the fight to share the blessings of liberty.